Sermon comes from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. This is our continuation from this morning. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. The night is almost gone, and the day is near. Therefore, let us lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lusts. Pray with me. Our God, we thank you that you have given us your word and that you speak to us now specifically and intentionally, telling us how we are to live, how we are to love, and what we are to do. God, be glorified as we give ourselves and our hearts and our affections to you to live in accordance with your truth and to live in accordance with reality. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the scripture, we may ask the question, when do we forfeit the right or the responsibility to be the church? Where do we forfeit the right and the responsibility to be, as Paul describes us in 1 Timothy 3:15, as the pillar and the foundation of the truth, or the announcers of reality? I heard that there was a conversation recently between a born-again Christian who stood for marriage between one man and one woman for life, and he was having a conversation with another man who was in favor of same-sex marriage. The man who was in favor of same-sex marriage said, you know what? You Christians really haven't pulled this off. Why not give us a try? As if we've worked and we've worked and we've worked and we've failed at marriage. We have failed to keep the marriage bed pure. We have failed to build something and to exalt an institution and to stand for the institution, to stand for the covenant. And things have crumbled as we look around at the way that the church has behaved. And does this bring us to a place where we are shut up? Where we are no longer the pillars and the foundations of the truth? Where we are no longer the announcers of reality? Well, it does not. And the reason is this. We do not announce ourselves. We do not place ourselves and put ourselves forward as this prime and this perfect example of a people who have arrived. The things that we suggest and the things that we would dictate and the things that we would call the nation to are not our opinion. And it's not a trail that we have blazed and a trail that we have made that we call the nation to. But we announce what is. We announce reality. We announce truth. But this does bring us to a place to fall back and to a place of self-examination as we consider the ways that we have handled marriage as individuals, as a church, and as Christians in general. The passage that is quickly thrown in our face in many circumstances, do not judge, comes to mind. Not because we are in a place where we are not to judge, and that is not to discern between right and wrong. In fact, you Christians are called to judge. This means you are to discern between right and wrong, and you are supposed to announce what is right in accordance with God's word. One of our evangelical sisters who's in the forefront, people oftentimes come to her and she says, they say, yeah, but the Bible says don't judge. And she oftentimes says, show me. Show me where it says it. And they'll say, well, I don't have a Bible. And she'll say, I do. Here, take mine. Show me where it says it. And they'll say, and they might start fanning through and they say, I can't find it. She says, I'll give you a hint. It's in the New Testament. Show me. But when we come and we actually look at this, and this is where we are, as individuals, as the church. Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it shall be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite! First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So there it is, the work and the labor that is given to us when we have been told, do not judge. We are told, look at yourself, check out your own sin, remove your own sin, this log that is in your eye, and then you will see clearly to help your brother who has the speck in his eye. Now, as I say this, and as you imagine these circumstances, this brings to mind or brings the picture in a guy coming in with an eye patch on who has lost his eye from having had a log in it, and he's coming to someone else saying, I don't want you to be like me. I don't want what has happened to me to happen to you. Let me help you. You see, to even discern if someone has a speck in their eye, that means you have to judge between right and wrong. You have to be able to look and say, there's something wrong here. Let me help you, because I've been where you are. I know the pain. I know the misery. I know the sorrows of sin. Let me help you. So as we are loving and living and laboring in this culture, and we are to stand for biblical marriage, what God says it is, we have to stop and turn and look at ourselves and remove the log from our own eyes. So, from this morning, we discussed putting off darkness and putting on light. We discussed putting on Christ Jesus. We've discussed paying our debts and paying what true love is, and we've discussed love as the full expression of the law. And this brings us to our fourth step. Stand for the love that keeps the marriage bed pure. Romans 13:9. For this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are put in the place as the pillar and the foundation of the truth, again from 1 Timothy 3:15, to stand for and to announce the reality that marriage is between one man and one woman. And this is one of the places we stumble then, for life. For as long as you both shall live. Now I've kicked around the comedy routine of writing out marriage vows, how our culture looks at it today. It's not for better or for worse or for richer or for poorer, for in sickness and in health. It's I will be with you as long as you make me feel good. I promise. And that's about as far as it goes these days. People are looking for a comfort and they are looking for a joy. And it is for us to demonstrate that marriage is not for comfort. Marriage is not for joy, though that does happen when we do it correctly. But it is up to us to stand for a marriage that keeps the marriage bed pure. Hebrews 13:4. In our culture, you're going to want to remember this. Hebrews 13:4. Marriage is to be held in high honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. And this is a burden placed on us. This is a warning and a threat given to us that when we move from this command, you shall not commit adultery, there's a judgment that is upon us. Now, this comes to mind for each of us because each of us are constantly under the threat of adultery, whether you are married or not. There are the dangers of our hearts, the dangers of our mind. There are the temptations that will come upon us. We must be diligent to watch over our own hearts as we labor this way. Now, in popular television now, they have a thing going on. And this thing is they will gently place same-sex marriage couples in an episode in just about every new show that's out right now. And they treat it as normal, and they treat it as good. We are in a place, as the announcers and the proclaimers of reality, to look and say, no. This is not right. This is not okay. Because God says so. We cannot be put into fear. We must not be put into silence. But we must be those people who announce what is right because God says so. Now, as we are examining ourselves and removing the log from our own eyes, we come to our fifth step. This is married people. Keep the marriage bed pure. Matthew 5:27-28. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. This idea of the heart, Proverbs 4:23 says, watch over your heart. With all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. And there it is. Sin starts with the heart. And it is a downward spiral. It is a downward path. So, married couples, I'm telling you, this is where the battle begins. In your hearts. You inform your hearts with your thinking. You remind yourself of the vows that you have made before God, the vows that you have made before man, and that these are God's commands. This is reality, that the two of you are now one person for as long as you both shall live. We inform our hearts of this reality, and we guard our hearts, and we stand fast. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Proverbs 5:8-9 gives us this warning and this instruction, referring to the forbidden woman. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. And back to our text, Romans 13:13. Let us behave properly, as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife, and not in jealousy. Now, how do we accomplish these things? How do we do these things when the battle is always on us? The onslaught is always against us. You cannot get into your car and drive any distance without visual images being thrown at you that you will see that will lead you into lust and lead you into temptation if you continue to look. The people who are walking down the street, they have set themselves up to lead you into lust and to lead you into temptation. Well, the idea is, once again, as you put off the old man, you are putting on the new. That we do what is right, we love what is right, and we love correctly. Ephesians 5:25, here's an example of putting on the new. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. If you're really working that, if you are really doing that, you don't have time for an affair. You will be loving your wife well. You will be caring for her. And as you do that, you will be in harmony with Christ Jesus. You will be nourished and blessed, and you will be cared for. Wives, what do we do, or what do you do? Well, Ephesians 5:22 and 23, be subject to your own husbands and respect him. And this is a hard thing. This is a hard thing. I heard a preacher speaking, and he said, talking about a counseling situation. And he was saying, "You don't understand, Pastor, I just don't love my wife anymore." And his response was, "Oh, well, when did you decide to stop obeying God?" And the man asked, "What?" And he said, "God told you, love your wife. This is a command. This is an instruction." Now, as we look, and as we would labor, and as we would try to love, oftentimes it's hard. Every one of us live with a sinner. Every one of us. Our wives are sinners. That's the reality. And yet we are told to love. Well, God gave us the picture of what that was like, or what it has been like for him in the book of Hosea, where he was told to love a prostitute. Someone who was completely unfaithful to him. And that is the picture of the church. And yet Christ has loved you, the church, even though we have been completely unfaithful. So God says, love. Husbands, love your wives. Now, wives, you are told to respect your husbands. And so often you could step back. My wife could step back and look at me and say, "Surely not him, Lord. Surely not him. You don't know what he's been like. You don't know what I've done or what he has done. You don't know his attitudes. You don't know his carelessness. He does know. And the ways that we love and the ways that we respect, it's not a response to the person's goodness or the person's faithfulness, but it's your response to Christ. Husbands, you love your wives because Christ has loved the church. Wives, you respect your husbands because the church is to respect Christ. Let us behave properly as in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. So wives, as you are striving to be faithful, make yourselves clearly forbidden to other men. Make that the reality. Make it clearly displayed. You are not an object to be pursued. You have your boundaries because you will love your husband, not because he deserves it, but because Christ has told you to. Husbands, in your work to love your wives and keep the marriage bed pure, guard the integrity of other women. See them as people not to be pursued or for you to enjoy as if they are some kind of commodity or something that's placed there for you, but see them as someone to be protected, and you protect them by guarding your own heart. Wives, fulfill your dominions. Love your husbands well and care for your houses as well as you can. Be these women of integrity, as the scripture lays out for us. Husbands, fill your dominions by loving your wives well. Meet her where she is. Meet her in her weaknesses. Make up for her weaknesses. Cater to her needs and give her specifically what she needs so that she is full and loved and cared for so that she would never have to look anywhere else. There was a story of a king, and the king had to go and he had to meet with these wicked people. When he went there, these people were famous for having these young drunken women around. And he was there and he saw the young drunken women. And when he came back, his wife looked at him and asked, "Were you enticed?" And he said, "It'd take more than a drunken child to pull me away from my queen." The idea and the truth that we would be knit together and that we would not be torn apart as we fulfill our dominions. We may need to take time and ask our spouses, what do you need to feel loved? What do you need to feel respected? So that we make certain that we are fulfilling our dominions. Our next step, and this is number 6. Single people, keep the marriage bed pure. Verse 13. Let us behave properly, as in the day. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Not in strife and jealousy. Now, single people, you have a challenge before you, obviously, the same as the rest of us do. I remember when Leslie and I, we were dating, and even when we were engaged, the temptations were there. I had my own house, and I did not live with anyone else. That meant she could come over at any time and stay any length of time, and nobody but God would know it. She had her own house, and no neighbors that would be holding her accountable. That meant that I could go over and I could stay any length of time and nobody but God would know it. And we could rationalize and we could talk ourselves into whatever we wanted as our convictions were slowly eroded by our familiarity. But we realized we could not and we should not be alone together in our houses where there was no accountability. We couldn't do it, and we couldn't do it if we were going to keep the marriage bed pure. What to do to keep the marriage bed pure, single people, is to set up your boundaries, to see where your temptations will be. You cannot continue on in isolation together without going further and further and further down a path that will ultimately undo you and keep you from keeping your own marriage bed pure. And this person that you are with is not your spouse. They are not your spouse until they are. They are not yours to enjoy physically. They're not yours. So Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:25-27. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all of your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right, nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Proverbs 5:8-9. Keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house, or you will give your vigor to others and your years to the cruel one. Our hearts must be directed. Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 104, 35. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. You see, we are put in a place where we must work and labor to love correctly. Not in adultery. Not in sexual immorality and promiscuity. But to stand as the announcers of the truth and the announcers of reality. We are those people who must labor, and we must do it. We are those people who are to set this example for the world and to point the world towards what is right and true and good and perfect. If you took a moment, I'm sure each of you can look at the horrors that result from divorce. The pains that we face. The pains that others face. The pains that result from sexual immorality. From having children that we do not have access to care for, and to bless, and to direct. We have a work in our houses in directing our own children as we are directing our own hearts. But we must make certain that we have removed the plank from our own eyes. That we are removing the plank from our own eyes. Because we must stand in this culture. And as things are falling apart, we have to announce what is right. What is true and what is good. Because of true love. To be committed to the individuals who will suffer. They will suffer because of their sexual immorality. Their loved ones, in air quotes, will suffer from the sexual immorality. Their children will suffer from the sexual immorality. We must truly love and truly announce what is right and good in accordance with God's commands. For the purity of marriage as this institution that points to salvation. Your very relationship with Christ. Your marriage does that. And it must do that for all. Pray with me. Our God, you place a heavy burden on us as the pillars and the support of the truth. God, again, caused us to analyze our own hearts to see where we have been and where we must go. To not turn to the right or to the left and to turn our feet from evil. God, grant us true repentance that you will be glorified in the ways that we keep the marriage bed pure. As husbands and as wives and as single people, that we will do what is right and give us the wisdom to know the right times to announce what is true and the right way to say it. God, grant our nation repentance as we have been in a steady decline for decades, even centuries. God, please turn us from this path of destruction as your judgment continues to rise up against us, as you have turned us over to our own sensuality and our own immorality, as men burn in their passions for men and women likewise burn in their passions for women. God, make us stand strong and true as those people with eye patches, who know the consequences of sin. Make us humble in ourselves, but bold in your truth, in your wisdom, and in your Son, Christ Jesus. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Our next psalm.